All righty, take your Bibles and join me this morning in 2 Corinthians, the book of 2 Corinthians, chapter number 5. 2 Corinthians 5, if you can find your place there. And I want us to read together verse 17, and then I want to read down through the end of the chapter, just to verse number 21, okay? So the book of 2 Corinthians in chapter number 5, and we'll begin to look at verse number 17. Happy birthday, Raji.
Happy birthday.
Yeah, he forgot all about it. Just dawned on him. Happy birthday, Raj. Look at verse 17, 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, you got to stop there for it. Isn't it good to be in Christ?
Amen.
What a blessing to be in Christ. You know, there's only one alternative, and that's to be out of Christ. I'd rather be in Christ.
Amen.
So the Bible says, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. Have you had that experience yet? Have you had the work of the Holy Spirit in your life, sanctifying, taking away some things and adding some things? Isn't it wonderful? Isn't the change wonderful? I like that song, "What a Wonderful Change in My Life Has Been Wrought Since Jesus Came In to My Heart." Right? What a change He makes in our lives. And then verse 18 says, "And all things are of God, who has reconciled us to Himself by Jesus Christ, and has," look at this, "and has given to us the ministry of reconciliation." You see that? He's given to us the ministry of reconciliation. To wit, God was in Christ reconciling the world unto Himself, not imputing their trespasses unto them, and has committed unto us the word of reconciliation. Now then, as a result of that, the Bible says we are ambassadors for Christ. As though God did beseech you by us, we pray you in Christ's stead be reconciled to God. Look at verse 21. For He, that's Jesus, hath made Him, that's God, has made Him, Jesus, to be sin for us, that's you and me, who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in Him. May the Lord add a blessing to the reading of His holy word. I'm not sure if you noticed it or not, but several times in those few verses of Scripture, you see the word reconciled or reconciliation. And so what you find there is a repeated reference to the doctrine of reconciliation in those few verses. That word doctrine, simple, word doctrine just means teaching. And so when you read through those few verses, just from verse 17 down to verse 21, really verse 20, you find five references to teaching about reconciliation. And that's important. We're going to talk a little bit about that today. In fact, we're going to focus our attention this morning on the work of reconciliation. And we'll spend a little bit of time there. Paul encouraged the church. You remember this? Paul encouraged the church in 1 Corinthians, the first letter, chapter 15. Verse 58, Paul encourages the church to be steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. Right? And that's our theme for this year, always abounding. You see it everywhere, wherever you walk, all the hallways, you know, always abounding in the work. Be steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. And I like this part. He says, for we know, for as much as you know, what? Your labors are not in vain in the Lord. I like this. Let me give you an Izzy commentary. God keeps good records. Right? There's nothing you and I do for the Lord, in the Lord, as a result of the Lord, that He does not keep good record of. Right? So our labors in the Lord, our abounding in the work of the Lord is not in vain. Have you ever felt sometimes you do things in vain? You know, you've been praying for years and years and years, and it just seems that person isn't getting saved. You know, or you just keep adding to and adding, and it just seems like nothing is happening. Our labors are not in vain in the Lord. And so Paul says this in 1 Corinthians 15:58, be steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. And what we've tried to do over the past several weeks has concentrated our attention on our focus on what is the work of the Lord there. And here's what we said. We talked a little bit about this. We said, first of all, the work of the Lord is seen in redemption, right? So the work of the Lord in redemption. And redemption is both personal and practical, right? And so you and I first come to know the Lord as our personal Savior. We accept Jesus as our Savior. And then our beliefs, now pay attention right here, our beliefs become a lifestyle. Right? So redemption is personal. You know, we sing the song, I've been redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. I've been redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. Did you ever sing that before? I've been redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. Filled with the Holy Ghost I am. All my sins are. I've been redeemed. And that's not all. There's more besides. I've been to the river and been baptized. You sing that song? Listen, it's more than a song and it's more than a word. It becomes a lifestyle, right? And so we see the work of the Lord, the work of the Lord in redemption. But it doesn't stop. It doesn't end there. In fact, we begin to see here in this text the work of the Lord in reconciliation. And I want to take a deeper look at that this morning. I want to see what the scriptures have to say about reconciliation. And there's three words that I want to highlight in our study this morning. And then before we close out, I'm going to make it real practical, okay? The first three words are this. Show us, fellas. It's reconcile, reconciled, and reconciliation. Right? You see that? So when you read your Bible, if you go through the scriptures, you go through the New Testament, you'll see those three words. You'll see the word reconcile, reconciled, and reconciliation. And they just kind of flow. One flows into the other. Are you with me? So let's break it down and talk a little bit this morning about the work of the Lord in reconciliation and how that becomes personal and practical, right? That word reconcile. Let's talk about the word reconcile just for a moment. Listen to this Bible verse. Share this verse with everybody, fellas. In Ephesians chapter 2, verse 16, says this. Look at the screen. And that he might reconcile both unto God in one body by the cross, having slain the enmity thereby. Look at the word reconcile. That he might reconcile both unto God. That's the work of Jesus. That's the work he does. And if we were to define the word reconcile, now this is going to pick up momentum. Okay? But I want to lay a foundation, and I want you to get this, because understanding is key. At the core, that word reconcile means to restore. Say it with me, to restore. So when I say the word flip back for a second, guys, when I use the word reconcile, what we're talking about here is it means to restore, to put back in step, to create harmony. Right? So the Bible says here, go back to the Bible verse if you would, that he might reconcile, that he might restore, put back in step, bring back into harmony. What's he talking about? He's talking about mankind's relationship with himself. God desires to reconcile us. You ever reconcile your bank book? I don't want to depress you. I'm going to get you upset talking about your money. You know, but that's what it means. It means to bring everything into harmony with each other. Listen to this. The cross of Calvary was the greatest work of reconciliation. So how did God go about reconciling the world unto himself? The cross of Calvary. Look at verse 14. Go ahead, fellas. It says this, for he, Jesus, is our peace, who has made both one and has broken down the middle wall of partition between us. Are you with me? So God desires to reconcile, to restore, to bring us back into harmony, to put us back in step with him. How does he do it? Through the cross of Calvary. Amen. Through what Jesus did on that cross at Calvary. And here's the key with that. Because of Jesus' work through the gospel of Christ, we can be reconciled. That's the second word. So you have the word reconcile, it means to restore. Reconciled, pay attention right here, means to be restored. See the difference? How many say, I see the difference? How many said, Pastor, I have no idea what you're talking about? Clueless. Reconcile, it's God's desire for you and I to be restored, right? To be put back in harmony with Him, to have our relationship with Him restored, right? And that doesn't happen until you and I are reconciled. Did you get that? Come on now, I can't make it any easier than that. Huh? Right? So it means to be reconciled. Listen to this Bible verse, Romans 5, verse number 10. Says, for if, when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of His Son, much more, being reconciled, we shall be saved by His life. I like that. So it's God's desire to bring me back into a relationship, back into harmony with Him. I can once again be in step with God. You say, well, what do you mean again? Well, you remember this. The Bible teaches that sin caused a break in our relationship with God. Isn't that right? In fact, the Bible says in John chapter number 3, you all know verse 16, right? You know verse 16? For God so that He gave His only, that whosoever should not, but you're pretty good. That's pretty good. But do you know verse 18? Verse 18 says this, look at it. He that believeth on Him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is. You know what that means? That means when you and I are born, when we're born into this world, we're born under condemnation. We're born sinners. We're born with a broken relationship with God. Oh, we are His creation, but we're not His children, because the Bible says in John 1, verse number 12, but as many as received Him, to them gave He power to become the sons of God, children of God, even to them, those who, what? Believe on His name. So we're born into this world as a creation of God, but we're not family members. Why? Because our fellowship with God, our relationship with God is broken. Sin has broken that. We are born condemned. He that believeth not is condemned already, because he has not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. The Bible says in Acts chapter number 4, verse number 12, there's only one name given among men whereby we must be saved. You know what that name is? That's the name of Jesus. So when you come to 2 Corinthians, book of 2 Corinthians chapter number 5, in verse 17 through 20, you find over and over, five times repeated, the doctrine of reconciliation. And here's what I've come to learn. Every time you find something, all of Scripture is important. It's all God-breathed. It's all God's Word. But when you find a repeated item, a repeated truth, it's almost like God's saying, now pay attention right here. It's almost like God's saying, now look up here. You know, how do preachers get your attention? You know, every once in a while, Dr. Mel Rudder, Jason, you remember this? You say, are you listening real good? Why? Because what I'm about to say is just not important, but it's really important. And so here, five times it's mentioned the word reconcile, reconciliation over and over, so that you and I might get a handle of it, so that we might understand it. We've been redeemed and we've been reconciled, brought back into a homogeneous relationship with Almighty God. I am now in harmony with God. I can now walk with God. I can now experience God. I can now enjoy God. I can now serve God. I can now praise God. I can now worship God. Why? I've been reconciled. Amen. Have you been reconciled? By the blood of the Lamb. Amen. And then you come to that third word. And that third word is reconciliation. Reconciliation, right? You see that in our text here. Look at verse 18. And he says this, and all things are of God, who has reconciled us to Himself by our good works, by our church attendance, by our giving record, by our cuteness, by our vocabulary. No, we've been reconciled to God through who? The Lord Jesus Christ. It's all Jesus. And now it says in verse 18, has given to us what? The ministry of reconciliation. Are you with me? Let me put this together. So reconcile means to restore. Reconciled means to be restored. Reconciliation is the process of being restored. Did you get that? Let me say it again, because some of you just look like you're just not getting it. Say it with me. Reconcile means to restore. Reconcile means to be restored. Reconciliation is the process that God uses. The process that God uses. And look here. He's given to you and I. He's given to us. He's given to the church the ministry of reconciliation. So what does that mean? What's ministry? What is ministry? Right? So you just can't read this at face value. You got to find out what these things are talking about. Right? Doctrine is teaching. Right? So you find the doctrine of reconciliation, the teaching on reconciliation. Well, what's reconciliation? I'm trying to explain it to you. And then he says, he's given to us. Hey, how many say, I'm reconciled? Say, Pastor, I'm reconciled. I'm reconciled. Well, now you have a ministry of reconciliation. Amen. You have a ministry of reconciliation. But what's ministry? Let me explain. Let me define for us ministry real quick. Ministry occurs when God meets human needs. Did you hear that? Take that in for a second. Ministry occurs when God meets human needs. You know what we have here at Open Bible? We have something called ministries. You know what they are? Ministries are opportunities that you can involve yourself in where God will try and meet your need if you'll let Him. We have the ministry of Sunday school. We have the ministry of small group, our 9:30 Connect classes. Right? So you go to those classes, you can involve yourself in that class, in that ministry, and if you'll let Him, God will work through that ministry and meet a need. Right? But the Bible says this, God has given to us. In other words, God has given to you and I a work to do, or I like to look at it this way. God desires to work through you and I to meet human needs. Amen. Did you get that? Ministry occurs when God meets human needs, and the only way He does that is through us, His servants. So now we can be a part of ministry. We can say, God, I want to be a part of ministry. I want you to use me as kind of like a receptacle or a conduit. Work through me to meet the needs of others. And here in this text, he says this, he's given us the ministry of reconciliation. What does that mean? Listen carefully. God desires to work through us to bring others back to Him. Amen. Huh? I'm really going out of my way to lay a foundation here. Right? Now get this. Let me just bring it back together because we got a little bit ways to go. If you and I have been reconciled, it's God's desire to reconcile us. And that means it's God's desire to bring us back into fellowship with Him, back into harmony with Him. Once you accept Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, you are now reconciled. Amen. And I'm not going to go back through that whole list, but that's all a possibility. I mean, I can now once again be in fellowship with God. And then God says, because of that, because you're reconciled, I want to work through you. You mean to tell me God wants to work in and through me? How about that? God chooses to work in us and through us. And it's His desire to work through us, get this, to bring others back to Him. I often say this, you've probably heard me say it maybe many times already, but I thank God for the people that He used in my life to bring me to Christ. Amen. And I thank God for this one particular lady. It's my aunt, my mother's sister, who, I mean, she just stayed with me and loved me to Jesus. How many know what I'm talking about? I mean, she kept witnessing and witnessing. I didn't get saved the first time I heard the gospel. That wasn't me, you know. I was the guy who said, yeah, that sounds good, but good for you, you know. But I'll never forget the day, November 1979, when after hearing the gospel several times, because everybody in my family got saved. I mean, they all got saved. It was crazy. It's just me and my dad. And I'll never forget the day she called me up on the telephone and we're talking, my aunt that is, and we're talking real just casual. And then she said this to me, are you ready to get saved yet? And before every other time I would say this to her, Nathan, welcome back. I would say this to her, oh, you're going to start this again? And I wouldn't get angry with her because I loved her dearly. You're going to start this again? But I didn't say it that day. You know what I said that day? I am. I am. I am. And I got saved. And so, I thank God for doing ministry through my aunt, because through her, I was brought back into a relationship with him.
Amen.
Huh? I'm sure many of us, I know I can say this, God used me in the past to bring others back into a relationship with him. Why? Because God's given you and I the ministry of reconciliation. God desires, pay attention here, he desires to use us to bring others back to him. Did you get that?
Yep.
Everybody raise your hand. Pastor, I got it. Because if not, I got to go back all over again. You're going to be here for a long time. Did you get it? And so, now get this. We're to be steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. So, what's the work of the Lord? It's vast, right? We can never exhaust it if we talked about it. So we're trying to narrow it down for our understanding. What's the work of the Lord? Well, the work of the Lord in redemption. Right? We won't go back. And the work of the Lord in reconciliation. We need to be abounding. But I want you to get this. I'm going to take a turn here, and I want you to get this part of the message. Reconciliation is for all relationships. Did you hear me? It's for all relationships. It's not just for the lost to be reconciled. It's for the saved to be reconciled. Huh? Reconciliation is for, do you ever pray for somebody you love to be reconciled with somebody else? How many times I pray for, because I pastor a church and pastor a lot of people, marriages and relationships, and sometimes I'll pray, God, would you please reconcile that marriage? Because people come along and say, Pastor, we're separate. Why? We have irreconcilable. Don't get nervous. If that's the way you feel today, God bless you. But I want to tell you this, in God, there's the possibility for all circumstances to be reconciled. Amen? And that's not just salvation. That's not just bringing somebody back to God who's lost. That's for us lost people to find our way and be reconciled. Amen? Now, I get it. I know it doesn't always happen, but I want you to know it's always a possibility. And so if that's the desire, it's always a possibility. Listen carefully. We live in a world of conflict. Isn't that right? It's all about us. And here's the thing. Most people don't like conflict. I know there's a lot of members here at Open Bible that do. I've been here long enough to experience that. That's what floats our canoe. But for many, we just don't like conflict. You know why that is? Can I just cut to the chase? Can I tell you why that is? Because most of the time, conflict equals loss. Right? You get into a relationship, there's some conflict there. Because we don't know how to resolve it, what happens? There's a breakage. And we suffer loss. Often the time, a loss of a friend, loss of a job, loss of a spouse, loss of a brother or sister at church. Why? Conflict, you know, it's inevitable. You can't avoid it. Right? If I ask some of the members who have been here at Open Bible the longest, they'll tell you, sure, through the years we've had conflict. Dr. Riddell's sitting here, pastor of the church for 43 years. I guarantee you, he can stand up and testify, sure, we've had conflict. And yes, in some of those, people just moved on. Why? Didn't want to have resolution. And so there was loss. They lost a church. Church lost a member. And that's true in families. And friendships, and the workplace. Somebody say amen.
Amen.
Why? We live in a world of conflict. And most of the time we try to ignore it simply because we don't want to suffer another loss. Right? But listen carefully. We're built for resolution. Think about this. Think about the first relational conflict in history. Think about it for a second. You with me? The first relational conflict in history, who can tell me what it was? Huh?
Cain and Abel.
They were what? They're brothers. You know, there might be some evidence they were twins. I don't know for sure, but might be. In fact, we're teaching the book of Genesis on Wednesday nights in Bible study. That's where we're going this week, Cain and Abel. Here's a question. We're looking at it in questions, right? There are some questions in the book of Genesis. Awesome the way we study it this way. God said this. Here's some questions in the book of Genesis. Here's a statement. In the beginning, God. And everything's built upon that. And then it says this. He saw everything that he made, and he said this. God saw that it was good. It was good. And then God said it was very good. And then he said it's not good. It's not good. Last week, he said, where art thou? And we studied that out. This week, why are you so angry? Different statements that kind of guide the narrative of the story. Why are you so angry? And you know what happens? The first recorded relational conflict in history, instead of being resolved, what happens? Loss. Loss. What happened? One brother killed the other. You remember who killed Hill? Who killed Hill? Who? Who was it? Cain killed Abel. And you know what happens? God comes down and he says to him, why are you so angry? What'd you do here? And you know what Cain said this. Here's his response. Am I my brother's keeper? And I think the Lord looked him in the eye and said, boy. Did you ever read it in the Greek? In the Hebrew? Boy, what's the matter with you? Listen carefully. We need to learn how to resolve conflicts. That's part of reconciliation. That's part of it. You know where it begins? Can I help you here? Can I help you here? Here's where it begins. It begins with a change of perspective. Huh? I say, Pastor, define perspective, your way of viewing things. So how do you look at conflict? As loss? As something you want to run from, hide from? Look here, if you change your perspective, there can be a solution or a resolution to it. Listen to this, maybe you'll consider it. Instead of loss, conflict gives us the opportunity to retain a relationship. Think about that. Donald and I, we got some stuff going on, man. You know what? It's not worth it. Donald, listen, man, have at it, buddy. If I never see you again, well, that wasn't a good relationship to begin with. Fact is, I love Donald. I don't want to lose him as a friend. I don't want to lose him as a brother. And so my desire is through this conflict, let's allow this relationship to get stronger. I want to retain this relationship. Are you with me? Who in this room doesn't have conflict of some sort and has suffered the loss in that conflict? Doesn't have to be that way if we change our perspective. Now, I know what you're thinking, but Pastor, don't both parties need to change perspective? Sure, but it's got to begin someplace. Amen. Right? Galatians chapter number 6, ye which are spiritual, restore such a one. It has to begin with those of us who are spiritual. And look at this crowd, bunch of spiritual people. Look here. If you can resolve the conflict, you can strengthen the relationship. And relationships can actually become stronger through resolution. Are you with me? Let me give you an example. I'm coming to the close. And I know I've dumped a lot out in this message this morning. But listen to this. When Jesus gathers his disciples together, right, he calls a bunch of people just like you and I. They weren't Rhodes Scholars. They weren't spiritual leaders. They were common folk like you and I, right? And you know what he does? He calls them together and he realizes this. They're coming into this relationship empty. How many of us came into our relationship with a little empty? Right? I didn't know anything. There was nothing I can use from my past life that would help me in my new life. Jesus doesn't allow manipulation. Do I need to go any further? And so I come empty. We come empty. So Jesus gathers his team together. They're empty. And he sits them down and he begins to instruct them. And the very first thing he teaches them is what we considered or called or labeled the Beatitudes. Matthew chapter 5, did you ever read it? It talks about blessed art thou, blessed art, blessed art, blessed art, blessed art. Right? We won't go through all of that, but I will tell you this. What that message does is define what it looks like to follow him. So, Pastor, what does a Christ follower look like? Read your Bible. Listen to the words of Jesus. Often Jesus would say this, you have heard that it's been said, but I say unto you. I don't care what your friends are saying. Here's what I got to say. In other words, what he's saying is, you got to change your thinking. I know you've heard it's been said, but I say, and whenever you see the words, but I say, that trumps it all. Not Donald Trump, but that trumps it all. Although he'll probably want to put his... Trumps it all. Jesus said, but I say. Now, we're not going to go down through those statements, but I will tell you this. If you walk through those statements made in Matthew 5, verses 3 through 11, here's what you find. Listen carefully. The focus is on our treatment of others. Our attitude in relationships. Are you with me? That's what it's talking about in that text of Scripture. Our relationship with others. And here's the thing. From the very beginning, Jesus taught his followers how to resolve conflict. How to resolve conflict. Why? Because the work of the Lord is reconciliation. And now he's committed that to you and I. He's committed that work to you and I. We're to be peacemakers. Blessed are the... I think for some reason we like that other verse in the Queen James Version where it says, blessed are the troublemakers. That was my mom's Bible. She had a Queen James Version. She would use it on me all the time. And I'd say, is that in the Bible? She said, no, but it's in my mind. Blessed are the troublemakers. No, that's not one of the Beatitudes. Blessed are the peacemakers. In fact, Isaiah would say this, blessed are the repairers of the breach. And you and I are to be repairers of the breach. I think sometimes we're more on the demolition crew than we are on the restoration crew. Isaiah 58, look at this Bible verse. Isaiah 58, guys. And they that shall be of thee shall build the old waste places. Thou shalt raise up the foundations of many generations, and thou shalt be called, read it with me, the repairer of the breach, the restorer. And so God would have you and I to be repairers, peacemakers. Look here, conflict resolvers. Amen? Did you ever go to anger management classes? Sometimes they are mandated by the law because you keep losing your temper, and they send you to anger management classes. You've been there 3 or 4 times. My question is, how's that working out for you? Now, we don't need anger management classes if we're a Christian. We just need to learn how to resolve conflict biblically, according to Scripture. Amen. So how do we do it? How does that work? I just looked at that time, and I must say I'm proud of myself. I got a lot done in that short amount of time. So how does the ministry of reconciliation, what's required? Isn't that what you want to know? Right? Can I go back over real quickly? Reconcile is to restore. Reconciled is to be restored. Reconciliation is the process. Right now we're in the process. Right? It's conflict resolution. And we're to be a part of that. God wants to work through us to bring others back to himself and to each other. Right? We can be mediators. So what does it require? Let me give you 3 quick things, and I promise you these are not long, but I want you to get them. And maybe take a picture of it when all 3 pop up on the screen. The first is this. I think the ministry of reconciliation requires a personal relationship with the Lord. Amen. Personal relationship with the Lord. That means this. The restorer must first be restored. Right? And so the question is this, have you personally accepted Jesus Christ as your personal Savior? Have you? Can you say this? I've been reconciled to God. Amen. Has your relationship been restored? Hey, a moment ago, I told you that back in 1979, I accepted Christ as my personal Savior. Prior to that, I was raised up in a religious home. We weren't a practicing religious home, but we were religious. I knew about God, knew about Jesus, knew about the Holy Spirit. I knew they were the Trinity, didn't understand it, but I knew they're, right? And so when somebody shared the gospel with me, I knew that Jesus died on the cross, was buried, rose again. I didn't need to be convinced that he created the world or died on the cross. I believed that. I didn't understand that. And if you were to ask me back in 1979, prior to that day, you know, if you were to die today, where would you go? I would have probably told you this if I got serious, because first of all, I would joke around and give you all these cliches. But if I got serious, Siri, I'm not talking to you. I said, serious. Siri's talking to me. Siri, what's for dinner today? What'd you say? Oh, Donna's making roast beef. All right, sounds good. Thank you. Siri just told me that. But if I got serious, I would say this to you. I don't know where I'm going to go when I die. And based upon my lifestyle, I probably would go to purgatory. Does that tell you what I used to be before I got saved? Huh? I'm going to purgatory. Right? I doubt very much. I don't know if I'm bad enough to go to hell, but I'm certainly not good enough to go to heaven. But you know what the Bible teaches? That's not up to me. Heaven and hell is not up to me. Heaven and hell is based upon what I do with truth. And the truth is this: Jesus died on a cross to take away my sin, your sin, the sin of the whole world. And if we'll put our faith and trust in him, you know what he gives you? John 3:16. That's what he gives you. You won't perish. No purgatory. But eternal life, everlasting life. That's what I did back in November 1979. And that's where it begins. The ministry of reconciliation requires that you first be reconciled, that you have a personal, personal relationship with the Lord. Secondly, it requires a proper understanding of reconciliation. And for that, I'd say this: we have to change our perspective on conflict. Look here. Can I get personal for a second? Don't take it personal, but let me get personal. There's people in this room right now, you got some bitterness against some people. You got some unresolved issues. You got some unforgiveness. And until you admit it and get past it, it's going to keep coming back, and it's going to hinder you from having that. Just the way it is. God won't let it go on. He won't bless you for that. You got to deal with it. And you don't realize that person who hurt you or that ever, whatever it was, is now continuing to hurt you and to capture you and to enslave you and to embondage you. Here Paul said in Galatians chapter number 5, verse number 1, about going back into the bondage. Huh? How silly are we? I was talking to somebody yesterday, the day before, about forgiveness. He said this, forgiveness is a wonderful concept until you have to use it. It's a wonderful word until you got to forgive somebody, especially when they hurt you deep. Come on now, I'm talking real life here. I'm not minimizing your feelings. I'm talking real life, but I'm trying to help you. You can't go on until you get rid of it. And you're not rid of it if it keeps coming back up. And if it keeps hurting you, look here, you may think about it, but if you think about it and it hurts you, you've not gotten rid of it. You'll never forget it, but it comes to the place where it no longer hurts. It no longer hurts. You get a change in perspective. You don't run and hide. You confront with truth and grace. Isn't that what the church did last Sunday night here at Open Bible? We confronted a situation with what? Truth and grace, with mercy and truth. And it's got to work out that it's got to work out for God if you confront it that way. We understand that resolution can take our relationship to another level. And finally, it requires a power from the Holy Spirit to heal. So if you and I are going to do ministry of reconciliation, we first must be reconciled. We need to understand what reconciliation is, and then we need to ask God to help us to be the restorer of the breach. We want to be a part of healing broken relationships. And we come to realize that only Jesus can heal, right? He's the only one who can heal a broken heart, a broken relationship, a broken life. Only Jesus can do that. He's done that. Look around. Of course, it begins with our relationship with him. But we need to operate in his power to accomplish the ministry of reconciliation. Ministry, God meeting human needs through us. You with me? All right, I'm finished. Somebody say amen. It's the best part of the sermon, Pastor, when you say, I'm finished. Now, I know, I'm just teasing. I know you come on purpose. And I try to do my best to feed you when you come. And I only get you for 45 minutes the whole week. I wish you'd give me more time. I can really help you. I'm just teasing. You're looking at me, oh, really? But I want to try to be a blessing to you. Paul says this. I prayed about this. I promise you I did. For weeks, months. Lord, in which direction would you have us to begin 2025? I always ask the Lord for that. And he gave me that Bible verse, 1 Corinthians 15:55. Right? Be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. For as much as you know, your labors are not in vain in the Lord. And I broke that down, studied that out. I mean to tell you, I spent hours on that. And now I've been preaching since January, the first Sunday in January, about it. And I got a long way to go. Why? Because it's so rich. And God wants us to understand that. We'll never be able to abound in his work if we don't know what his work is. What is his work? Well, just to stay with it, it's the work of reconciliation. God wants you and I to allow him to work through us to restore relationships. First and foremost with him. But then, right? And I hate it sometimes. One of my all-time favorite messages is this: God, why did you lead me into the chaos of somebody else's life? Did you ever find yourself there? Huh? I mean, you're minding your own stinking business, and all of a sudden, you're right in the middle of somebody else's mess. Huh? I mean, most of the time, that's where I'm at. Pastor, where are you at? I'm in the mess of somebody else's life. And I'll say to the Lord, well, why am I here? And here's what he says: because you said you wanted to follow me, and now we need to go help these people. So stop asking me questions and get to work. Amen. And you know what? As long as we live on this side of heaven, that's never going to change. Because life is filled with conflict. We got to get better at it. Because it's got its thumb upon many of us. And we're not happy. And we're not experiencing all that God has for us. You know why? Because we're dealing with these unresolved conflicts. And it just keeps growing in our lives. Doesn't need to be that way. Amen? Maybe we ought to pray and ask God, God, help me, prepare me, enable me to be a part of the work of reconciliation. Amen. There's great reward in seeing people being brought back together, especially with him. Isn't it great when you see somebody get saved, when you lead somebody to salvation? Nothing like it. But above that, think about the joy in heaven over one sinner. Amen. Right? We can be a part of that. How about that? Just to have God whisper in your ear, well done, well done, you good and faithful servant, you. That's a pat on the back from the Lord. Yeah. Nothing like that. That'll float your canoe. That'll keep you going. Amen. Amen? Let's pray. Father, thank you for your word. Thank you that we get a chance to open it and through the Holy Spirit's help, understand it, comprehend it. And Lord, I pray you'll allow it today to change us, to change our perspective when it comes to this ministry of reconciliation. God, please, I pray, do a work in every heart today. Do a work in each life today. Bring us to a place where we'll make decisions based upon what we heard. And I pray you'll help it to be lived out, practiced in reality. With head bowed, with eye closed, so that no one's embarrassed, we just want to pray for you this morning. If you're here today and you've yet to accept Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, before you leave out of here, we'd love to give you an opportunity to get saved. So, Pastor, I'm not sure about all that. I understand. I understand that. But we'd be more than willing to explain it to you. You just need to come to a place in your life where you realize, I need to get this settled. Once and for all, I need to get this settled. I need to be saved. There's men and women standing by who'd be more than willing to help you, talk with you, show you scripture. I'm not going to just pray a prayer with you this morning. But if you're serious about it, at the end of the service, just seek out one of us. We'll be happy to talk to you about it. And if you're here and you're a child of God and you got some unresolved conflict in your life, let me encourage you to get it settled. I'd be more than willing to counsel with you, help you, encourage you, see what I can do to get you to that place of being reconciled. And I'm sure God will bless you as a result. And so, Lord, we pray now as we conclude this service that you be magnified in our lives Help us to make good decisions, we pray in Jesus' name, and amen. Would you stand with me?